Good morning. It's been good to be here already. I'm so grateful to be a part of this family here at Calvary Chapel. Thank you, Lynn, for leading the sharing time and the prayer time. I'm willing to share this morning, and I'm always in awe of the responsibility, the privilege it is to be behind this podium and for you to give of your time and your attention this morning. So I don't take it lightly. I have a subject that God's put on my heart, mostly because it's something that I've been growing through. You see in your bulletin, I'll be talking about forgiveness this morning. It's a popular subject to talk about, not a popular subject to experience. It's one of my growth points. So if you would, open your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew chapter 18. A very well-known story that tackles this subject kind of head on. It's the parable of the servant who doesn't forgive. I'd like to read it in its entirety this morning and then go back through, and I feel like I have a few comments I'd like to make and share along the way. So if you open your Bible to Matthew 18, we'll start at verse 21. So Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I did not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him in prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came to their and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry, delivered him to the torturers that he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." It's a powerful story that shares a lot of meaning. I'd like to pause and pray before we tear into it. Father in heaven, thank you for this look at you, this window into your economy. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply it and make practical applications in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I find it important as I read the scripture, to first look at, what does it say?
And what does it say to me? And maybe as a body, what does it say to us? You know I'm a classroom teacher, so we work with hand raising a lot. But could I get a raise of hands? How many of you this morning feel like anyone has ever done wrong to you? Something has been done to you that wasn't fair, it wasn't right, you were hurt somehow. Has that ever happened in your life? It looks like many of you have had that happen. It's a human experience, isn't it? We get wrong done to us. Verse 21 starts out, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive, right? Up to seven times. And this would have been generous. The rabbinical convention at the time would have been, forgive somebody three times is a good number. And so Peter, maybe by suggesting seven, which would have been a perfect number, would have been pretty generous here. Lord, how does this work out? I should be doing a bit extra. And Jesus' response to him was, no, that's not it, right? More like 70 times seven, which would probably have been suggesting unlimited forgiveness. Like, this was hyperbole. This was saying, no, you don't just forgive up to a number, but you keep on forgiving. Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And I find it important. Like, we, a lot of times we try to make practical application from what the Bible has to say and what does this mean. We're not stretching it to say this is how God works. Jesus himself said the kingdom of heaven is like this. And at the end of it, he ties it back in again. God works this way. We're not making a misapplication to say maybe this is how it works. Jesus drew that parallel out pretty strong. I pause, like, what have I done? What am I this forgiving? And honestly, I'm not. A lot of the time, I like to remember everything. I was blessed with a fairly strong memory. I as a little kid, when I was young, I was told, you won't remember your childhood, and I take a challenge always. I remember crawling onto the LP gas tank in the backyard and sitting there under the pine trees and saying, I am four and I will remember this. I don't know that it's really that pivotal, but I remember a lot of things. And sometimes, to my own chagrin, I remember the wrong things. I can't remember all of the nice things you said to me, but that one time you hurt me, I've got that, right? Verse 24. He's talking about the king. And when he begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owned 10,000 talents. And I'm not a math teacher, but I like checking out what that number is. 10,000 talents is a lot of money. It would be equivalent to between, the math is hard to figure out, but between $80 billion and $160 billion U.S. today. It was hyperbolic. It was exaggerated. It was to represent a huge sum of money that no one but maybe an all-important emperor could owe. This is national debt sort of material, right? Not our national debt, but some countries' national debt. The man would not, could not, he cannot pay this back. It's not a possibility. It's not, oh, please let me work in a couple of extra shifts and I'll get this done. It was not possible. He was, verse 25 says, as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, his wife and children, all they had, for payment to be made. His whole world would have come crashing down. This man must have been at least marginally successful. He had achieved some of the markers in life that we hope for. He had married a wife. He did have children. There was a household going on here. Something was going right, but it was all to be taken from him if he couldn't pay. So verse 26, it says, the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Yeah, right. We hope so, right? Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, and he released him, and he forgave the debt. And I see the connection with my Heavenly Father here. I had no ability to pay for the sins that I committed. There was nothing that Chad could do to right the wrongs eternally that I've created. I needed Jesus. I needed salvation. I needed the new walk. I pray for heaven as a future one day. But I think that I tend to want to end the story right here. I had a debt I couldn't pay. God forgave me. I'm grateful. And we want to end right there. My salvation has nothing to do with how I live or how I treat the people in my life. My salvation is just between me and God. There's a lot of truth there, but there's more to the story. And this is the part that I have been wrestling with for the last couple of weeks. So the servant is doing all right. I mean, he just has been forgiven and given a way out. Verse 28, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. He didn't get it, right? He didn't get the message. He didn't get the lesson. He didn't know how to apply it to himself. And I'm really quick to say, you fool, right? Like, what did you miss? You just received. But I think it's important to take a little bit of a look at what he was owed. I mean, that amount is debatable too, right? The value of silver in the Roman denarius in the New Testament era was about $10.60 U.S. The standard Roman denarii was a coin that was struck with about 3.9 grams of about 97% pure silver. Like, there's a lot of unknowns here. Maybe worth about $1,000 in today's money. But there's other studies saying that a denarius is about a day's wages, right? I've heard people get mad about $1,000 loss, right? I would get frustrated. If you stole $1,000 from me, I might be frustrated. I hope that I wouldn't drag you off to jail for $1,000. It seems pretty small. But it buys a lot of toothpaste, so I don't know. But before we write the guy off completely and say he was just totally foolish, $1,000, it's an amount of money. But a denarius is about a day's wages, possibly. Now, a lot of men today in 2025 are working for between $200 and $300 a day. Actually, right now, some of our factories are doing better, and we've got men working for $600 a day. Right? It's true. So do that math. Then it comes out to between $30,000 and $60,000. Sometimes our people, we as Anabaptists, would hold a grudge for $60,000. Now we're talking real money. It's still nothing compared to the billions of dollars he was forgiven, but it's money. How quick am I to hold a grudge when the money, it's smaller than what I've been forgiven. I know it's way smaller, but it's something. And maybe $30,000 doesn't sound like a lot to you, but to me it seems like a lot of money. And if you didn't pay me back, I have a right to be upset. At least I think I do, right? It comes home a little bit more when I put those numbers to it. So verse 29. This guy also said, please, please, please. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Sounds familiar, right? That line had just shown up a few verses before. But he would not and went through in prison till he should pay the debt. Sometimes they say, well, what goes around comes around. This guy missed the point. He had good things done to him, and he didn't pass that favor on. How often do I miss that point too? Verse 31. This piece, I feel like it applies to us on a different spot. Verse 31, so when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved, and they came and told their master all that had been done. When I see unforgiveness around me, when I see people hurting other people, does it grieve me? It makes me mad, but does it grieve me? To be grieved by another's sin is different than to be angry, jealous, or humorous about it. Sometimes I see somebody acting badly, and it makes me giggle, right? I was walking on Main Street in the town of Flushing in Queens, New York, and I was down by the library, and I saw two vehicles coming around the corner. The guy behind was going faster than the guy in front, and so they met in the intersection. And the guy in the front car hopped out of his car, reached in the back seat, pulled out a wooden baseball bat, and went to the car behind him. This is in the middle of traffic in Queens. And he starts beating the headlights out of the car behind him. And it should have grieved me. I got a giggle out of it. I did. I said, that's funny. Being from Michigan where we don't do that, they were grieved. And they went to the king. So his servants, all had been done. They were very grieved and came and told their master what had been done. It doesn't say that they made a Facebook post or put it on TikTok. They didn't gossip about it. They told their master. I'm pretty quick when I see inconsistencies in somebody else's life to talk to other people about it. Thought you hear what he did. That wasn't the right thing what she did. They were grieved and they told their master. What do I do? I think that we need to make this point. We do wrong. when we tell others rather than telling the Lord. Then the master called him and he said, this is verse 32, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" It's logical, right? "And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him." Is he ever really going to get paid? Is that going to happen? This is an eternal punishment. This is a payment that can't be met. That man will stay with those torturers for a long time. This is hell. This is an eternity of condemnation. The question says, should you not also have had compassion? I find that over and over in the Gospels, I am invited to copy the model that the Lord has laid out for me. We're not asked, we're not just given a list of directions and say, go do this, because nobody can but try. Jesus gave and forgave. He modeled perfect Christianity. Should you not also have had compassion like I had compassion on you? It's a connection with the Father. It's an invitation to be like Him. We are always invited into His pattern, into His likeness. And as I look at the far-reaching effects of that unforgiveness, this man's, his business is ruined. His reputation is stained. He doesn't get what he wanted. The success, the prestige, the joy. All of the things that he was chasing are gone. He was pursuing something, but not emulating the king or the master that had forgiven him. He was pursuing his own goals and not doing it in the right way. I think that bigger, though, than all of those things is the fact that now his wife and his children aren't protected. What effect does my unforgiveness have on those around me? Are my children hurting because of my bitterness? It's really been hitting me. Sometimes I make a lot of excuses. I make a lot of excuses about almost everything. I do. But when it's unfair to me, I get really mad. I've been discovering more about that in my own journey of unforgiveness toward forgiveness. I told you, I remember when I was 4. I think I remember things of being 3 years old, actually. But I hang on. And I mustn't. And sometimes I feel like the world outside is more willing to discuss the issue of hurt, pain, and unforgiveness than we are as a church. They don't necessarily do the right thing with it. You come across lots of references to pain and unforgiveness in secular music. Country music has a lot of stories about unforgiveness, right? It hurt me once, I'll let it be. It hurt me twice, you're dead to me. Three times makes you family. Right? That's a song from John Mayer. But we, they make it wrong. They really don't have answers. But sometimes we as a church, we'd rather talk about our pain behind their backs rather than confront someone and deal with it. And we say, fool me once, you know, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. In other words, I should have quit being your friend. I don't like you anymore. I'm mad at you. And I hang on to that. How many times do I hang on to that? You hurt me two times. That's my bad. I shouldn't have let you in my life this long. You are the problem and I dislike you for it. In fact, I'm going to use any chance I get to get even with you. I won't do it outright and up front. And like, I'm not going to come over and spray paint your house. That's not me. But I might say something bad about you when you're not around. Actually, I might try to make sure you don't get that promotion or that spot that you want to have. I can use my relationship with your boss to make sure that you don't achieve the success that you thought you deserved. Because I'm still mad at you. Or we'll tell somebody else about the things you've done. How much gossiping do we do? How safe is our conversation? How does my bitterness show up in my relationship to the people around me? How guilty am I of not forgiving in the way that Jesus forgave me? And I want to state it because it's stated here. There is hell to pay when we don't forgive. It is not a laughing matter. It is not something that, we'll get over it and we'll go on. If I am harboring bitterness in my heart, if I'm carrying unforgiveness, it gets in the way of my relationship with my King. Verse 35, so my Heavenly Father will also do to you, if you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Jesus puts it pretty plainly here. When he teaches his disciples to pray, he says, Lord, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us, right? We have a part to play here. And it does get in the way. It is serious business. For Chad, it's been a serious reminder to let go. I'll probably never forget being 4 years old and sitting on a gas tank. But I will choose to forget and to let go of the pains. I'll choose to leave those with the Lord. Forgiveness is not saying it's okay, right? Well, hear me out, please. Sometimes our little children, we say, you must say sorry. And then to the other one, we say, now you say it's okay. And it's not okay, right? The fact that they did this, it's never okay. That was wrong. That's why they're upset in the first place. But forgiveness is not saying it's okay. Forgiveness is saying, I give up my right to get even. I give that to the Lord. And I will surrender my bitterness to the Lord and let Him work out justice in His time. It's not mine to avenge. It's the Lord's. So as we pull it to a close here, I do want to pause for prayer this afternoon. And we're still in the morning. I want to pause for prayer this morning and give you a chance to think back through your own story. Are there things that you're carrying? We'll ask you to close your eyes. If you would, go ahead and bow your heads. Are there things that the Lord has reminded you of that you need to work on for forgiveness? And if there is, I'll ask you to raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you this morning. I am in constant need of God's work in my heart. And I need His forgiveness so truly. I can't afford to not forgive those around me. I owed such a great debt. I cannot not have His forgiveness. And so in lieu of that, I must be willing to forgive those who hurt me. So, is there anyone here this morning that, just put your hand up if you'd like prayer as you're working on forgiving. I see that. Lord bless you. Father, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. For the gift, the free gift of life that you've given us. And Lord, as we walk this life of pain and suffering, Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts too. I pray for these especially who raised their hand this morning, who are working on forgiving. Holy Spirit, move in these hearts. Grant your strength and give us your insight in what we need to do. Lord, we trust you to bring about our growth and your justice in your time. Thank you that we can trust you with it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here this morning. I don't know if there's any other closing announcements we need to make. You are dismissed. You are free to come.